Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here talking to Robert Bouillard over Skype.
Good morning.
Good morning. Robert is the chair of Writers in Oxford and he'll be coming to talk in Oxford as part of the Oxford Literary Festival. So, Robert, what's the history of Writers in Oxford?
Writers in Oxford, it was a kind of branch of the Society of Authors, which some people might have heard of, which is a national organisation. I don't know when it was set up, but in particular represents writers, for example, in discussions with publishers and gives them sort of legal help and things like that. They have a very polished newsletter, they have a big national membership, but they are rooted in London. And it's fine for some people to get there, but just nearly 25 years ago, Oxford, being a centre of a lot of writers, decided they wanted their own branch to Society of Authors. I don't know all the details, but for whatever reason, they didn't form a sort of branch, but they formed something called Writers in Oxford. So effectively a local group of Society of Authors, but with a different name. And so that's how it came into being. Yeah.
And are you yourself based in Oxford?
I am indeed. I'm opposite the new Waitrose in Botley Road.
Oh, nice.
I often use that as a lad. Not everyone knows the Waitrose. If you live in probably Headington, you probably don't need the Waitrose here. Near the train station, yes, yeah.
Yes. Oh, lovely. And how has the society evolved over the years?
Well, there are various aims of the society. I mean, I think if you're a writer and you're working away on your own, by and large, all day, or you spend the day in the Bodleian or going to London to libraries and things like that, to be a good writer, you've got to spend a lot of time on your own doing the research, doing the editing, doing the writing. And their main goal, especially at the beginning, was to provide a sort of social outlet for those people who were spending all day, you know, clogged up in an office or in their bare bedroom or whatever like that. And that sort of social outlet was very important. That's still very important to what we do, although I think with new technology these days, with the internet, with self-publishing, with new software and things like that, we're trying to give our members experience and skills and opportunities to learn those kind of skills, which we're all sort of grappling with as much as the sort of social side. So it's a sort of mixture of activities.
Great. And what inspired you to become a writer?
I grew up in a house surrounded by books. You know, I mean, it wasn't actually an Oxford household. My parents moved here when they retired, but it was like the sort of classic Oxford household. So I grew up living and breathing books. Myself in particular, I was interested in newspapers. My dad worked abroad in my teenage years, and this was when newspapers arrived after lunch, when they had been flown out on a plane, you know, so well before you were born, probably. So my thirst for English culture, if you like, as we were in sort of rural Germany, was quite strong. So getting the newspaper with the British news, I think I've always been a bit of a news junkie. So my interest in newspapers was very strong. And I think it was just one subject I always did quite well at. So when sort of the idea of careers was sort of thrown at me, you know, what are you going to do? I hit upon the idea of being a journalist. Now, for various reasons, other careers came to my interest first. But when I turned about 38, I think it was, I decided, oh, I think I'm going to be a writer now. So my idea was seeded from long ago. I was encouraged along the way in various other jobs. People always said I wrote well. And I, for various reasons, I had an opportunity, just nearly 40. And that's when I really became a full-time writer. And my first job was a freelance feature writer for The Guardian, The Telegraph, specialist magazines and websites.
Is there a particular subject you tend to focus your writing on?
Well, my feature writing for national newspapers, I drew on areas that I'd worked in, because, of course, writing stories. So I worked in local government for 4 years and I worked with them for probably another 10 years. So I was very well equipped to find stories, have contacts, to be able to write on local government issues. So having gone into journalism later on, I picked up areas that I'd previously worked in, which is local government, rural issues, because I was living in Shropshire before I came to Oxford, and social issues, which I'd worked in. So those were the areas I used to write on as a journalist. Sadly, people don't read newspapers so much these days, so I have to diversify a bit. I do more writing for businesses. My niche, if you like, is helping businesses write better content, not just sort of grammar and punctuation and that sort of stuff, but actually make it engaging, persuasive and impactful. So sort of whether it's reports, bid documents, web texts, blogs, all that kind of stuff. So I'm a non-fiction writing specialist, if you like, working for businesses.
Do you have any top tips for a budding author?
Top tips for budding author? Well, you can go into writing at any stage in your life, as I've demonstrated, and there are plenty of people older than me, you know, writing their first books in their 60s and 70s. Keep a journal or write letters or have a blog, you know, keep your momentum going, your creativity going, because all of that will help it come the day that you decide to actually, whether it's to pitch a book proposal or to get a sort of proper writing job, you know, you'll be learning your craft along the way. Secondly, read a lot. I think you absorb good and bad practice around you. And if you're reading good writers, it doesn't have to be novels. It might be nonfiction. It might be newspapers. But if you're reading good writers, a lot of that you will absorb in terms of writing styles, in terms of voice. So I think those would be my two main things. One is write to keep your learn your craft. And secondly, just read a lot and read good people and respected authors, because their good writing will rub off on your voice and your writing style.
That's great advice. Philip Pullman said that the best way to write is through habit.
Oh, well, yes, he's one of our founder members, and he's still a member. In fact, I heard him speak in Trinity about a month ago, and he said more books have got written by habit than by talent. I don't think he was commenting on himself, but it's a good point. You know, don't just say, oh, I want to write a book one day. Just get on and do it. There are people with talent who haven't got around to doing it, and writing can be a big job. Writing a book can be a big job, and you've just got to make it a habit, and hence my first tip.
Yeah. What inspires you as a writer?
I think you have to enjoy playing with words, and it's a bit like whether you're a potter, a woodworker, maybe even a sports person. You enjoy, you know, improving and getting better at what you do. I suppose a sort of a physical craft is an easy one to imagine, but to any of those sort of artistic sort of crafts where you see a woodworker turning a wheel and improving it, it's a bit the same. That's what makes good writing. You have to enjoy playing with words so that they come across in a nice tone, so that you've chosen the right words, so that it's engaging, so that the story is eked out for the reader. You have to enjoy sort of the craft of playing with words, and I do enjoy that. You get inspiration from all kinds of places. I got inspiration. I wrote a blog actually after hearing Philip Pullman a month ago, based on that quote he said about more books get written by habit rather than talent. You can get inspiration all around the place. I always remember a quote from another person, Will Self, and of course another big writer. There was some discussion on a radio program, and everyone said, "Oh, life is very predictable." And he rightly said, "Nonsense. Just go out of your house. And, you know, if you normally go right, just go left today. There's inspiration all around you. We get a bit closeted in our own field. Just turn the other way." And he gave the example of you know, walking a different way out of your house one morning. You'll see inspiration all around you.
What do you think it is about Oxford that inspires so many writers?
Well, I think it's partly the resources. Undoubtedly, we have members who come here or come here for part of the year because of the access to, obviously, the Bodleian and other specialist libraries. It's not obviously just the libraries, it's the endless range in talks. Obviously, the Literary Festival is a real sort of peak of those. But throughout the year, whatever your subject, you know, whether it's English or politics or interdisciplinary studies, there are all kinds of departments with a lot of free talks. Of course, a lot of very skilled, able, interesting people to talk to. So there are, I'd say, those combination of things. There are things going on, there are resources you can use. And of course, it's very central. So it's partly just being close to London, where you might need to, you know, go to a publisher or go to a trade fair. We've got the London Book Fair coming up and things. So, and of course, the buildings, I haven't even mentioned those. I think we're not really short of things that might inspire people here and be able to go inside a college. And, you know, whether it's Christchurch Evensong or an old chain library or a lovely staff common room or the Great Hall in any of the colleges, I mean, be here till Christmas if we carried on about why Oxford is inspiring.
Well put. Who is your favourite author?
I don't really like those questions. I think partly I'm someone who likes variety quite a lot in all kinds of sort of areas of my life. So I do like to sort of try different authors. I mean, I think people like Toni Morrison is, you know, up there, I think, amongst the best, Beloved and books like that. I'm a bit of an old classics person. I'm reading through a book of someone's idea of 100 best novels, you know, picking up some old classics, whether it's Prime of Miss Jean Brodie by Muriel Spark. There's some great Hemingway novels, of course. Again, I think we're going to be till Christmas 2017 if we carry on now. I mean, I do like beautiful writing. For me, beautiful writing is very important, not just the plot and how quickly the pages turn over. And I quite like economy of words and understated writing, hence my probably enjoyment of Orwell and Hemingway. I was a big Evelyn Waugh fan when I was very young. I've got most of his novels on my bookshelves downstairs. So there are lots of good modern writers which I probably don't read as much as other people, so I apologize if I haven't mentioned any of them.
I'm sure it's all right. So on to the literary festival. Are you looking forward to it?
Very much so, yes. I mean, it's a big highlight in kind of the Oxford calendar. And of course, we have the lovely buildings and venues to parade these great authors, international as well as national. So exciting. Yeah, I've booked quite a few events myself. Well, and of course, we've got our own event as well, which yes. I'm sure we'll talk about here.
What are you going to?
I'm going to a talk by William Gomperit, Think Like an Artist, it's called. It's on, I think, Sunday the 3rd. I'm going to a talk by two ladies, the story of two ladies, how they got the National Trust to be interested in Cornwall and to buy land and buildings in Cornwall. I thought that kind of caught my attention. And I think there's actually quite a well-known journalist called Rebecca Abrams talking about storytelling and how to use storytelling in business writing and non-fiction, which I'm wearing my sort of business hat in that context. So those are three that are top of my mind. But there'll still be time to buy some tickets. I've got the program here alongside me. I need to have another look. Partly it's seeing when I'm available, because of course I other things to do. But I'll certainly be going to those three and our own event.
Fantastic. So tell me a bit more about your own event. It's on Wednesday the 6th of April.
That's right. And it's in Worcester College. I'm sure it'll be signposted. It's 12 o'clock on Wednesday the 6th. So it's partly an opportunity for us to answer the sort of things that you've been asking me today. So for anyone who would like to join a group of writers for social support, for help with the publishing process, for ideas, for software and things like that, a sort of social support group to be a fellow writer in Oxford. We hold about 40 events a year. Some of them are social engagement, social meet gatherings. Some of them are talks where we get a local author, another author, or a script writer or something like that along, and we have a good chat about their work. Or sometimes we just do a visit to a local property, National Trust property, or a walk or something like that. So they're all kind of social gatherings, things like that. So partly we'll be telling anyone who's interested about what we do, and hopefully encouraging people to join us, or maybe answering the sort of questions that you've been asking me about, you know, tips to become a writer, or how did you get involved, where did you start, or, you know, what are the advantages of being in Oxford and things like that. And two or three of our members will be reading from their work, so that we kind of give a bit of a balance to the 1 hour that we've got. So I think we've got a non-fiction writer, a fiction writer, and hopefully a poet as well, giving them a flavour of their work. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Do you believe in writer's block?
Now, I sometimes get asked this. So I do quite a lot of talks. I have a blog and I have a page in my book on, you know, how to prevent writer's block. I think it was J.K. Rowling or someone of that ilk said, you know, if you've got a mortgage and a young child, you're not going to have writer's block. Personally, I have not had it. I mean, I think having learnt my craft as a journalist, if you've got a deadline, you're not going to have a writer's block. But I mean, I guess I wrote a book on business writing tips, but it's only 40,000 words. But I guess, I mean, novels have got longer these days. They're probably a lot of them are more like 100,000 words. So I can't, perhaps haven't put myself in that sort of situation. But I guess if you're writing that scale of work over so many months, there might be days you feel less inspired. The role of the deadline that I demonstrated works well with journalism doesn't apply, because your deadline is kind of 2 or 3 years down the line. You know, the editor's just happy to get your book whenever it's done. So I guess it does exist, and whether it's through staying healthy, getting out of your office and having a walk a bit, or just changing your scene. I often get inspired by just going into a coffee shop. I do a lot of good brainstorming by getting out of my office and going to a different place. It doesn't have to be a coffee shop. Sometimes it's a train, sometimes it's a walk. I had a very good idea driving to the Midlands last weekend. So you can get ideas lots of places. It's about kind of refreshing your mind a little bit. I have to say, I don't see a lot of people talking about it. I do sometimes get asked it. I quite understand, because it's that, oh gosh, what if I get it? What do I do if?
Yeah.
But I think it's an exaggerated fear. And I think, for example, I mean, I know as a journalist, one mistake some people try is try and start writing at the beginning. The beginning of something is often the hardest, you know, whether it's the beginning of a book or beginning of an article or a first short story or something like that. You start writing where your momentum is, where you write, where you're confident, where you know the writing is going to flow. And that way your confidence, your momentum will build up, and then you can move on to the harder part, which is often the very first few pages. Because if you don't grab the reader in the first few pages, then clearly you might not make that sale. So don't try and write from the start. You can do the start later on. So I think maybe that, in the same way people worry about the start, that might cause them to have writer's block, because they, once you start worrying, oh, what's going to be my first few pages? Of course, anxiety is the least good thing you need to be able to write fluently and steadily. Yeah.
Yeah. I was given that advice when I was studying, actually. Ah. Write the main argument and then work out your beginning and your conclusion.
Well, I think you were well advised.
Would you ever venture out of non-fiction into fiction writing?
Well, I'm hoping to. So I'm hoping to sort of have a sort of big writing project every couple of years or something like that. So I wrote my book, which was published last March. So I was hoping to get into short story writing and maybe a biography as my next project. And I've started to amass some ideas, and I know I'm thinking about ideas for short stories, which I think is going to be my next step. But I'm conscious, I think some people are just born with a bit more creativity than certainly I have. So I'm going to give it a shot, but I may find that I'm better and my niche is better at helping businesses with non-fiction writing. But I shall certainly give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, knock my book off, so that's good. Who knows, I might be a great short story writer in a few years' time.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Absolutely. Sink or swim, I think.
Well, thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you for the publicity. And I hope to see some of your listeners on the 6th of April at 12 o'clock in Worcester. If people can't go on Wednesday the 6th at 12 o'clock, look at our website, writersinoxford.org, and it'll give people a flavour of what we do, how to apply if they're interested, and you know who our typical members are and things like that.